Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where we will be this morning. As I said to you guys before, we are headed out to California to a pastor's conference, and my dad, being more advanced in years than me and Colin, had to get a head start to catch up with the time out there and get acclimated to the time change. And so, but me and Colin are flying in at midnight tonight and just wake up and hit the ground running. But we're not that excited about that, but we're young, so we can handle that. But yeah, so my dad's already out there, and I got the call to be here today with you guys and share these words. And so we are in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we will read in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 today, the message is titled, Choose Life. And this is a passage that many times you could get the idea of the prosperity doctrine right here. Choose life so that you can be blessed and you can prosper and you'll have wealth and all these things. That's not what I'm going to tell you today. Choose life so that we can experience blessing, yes, but spiritual blessing, ultimate blessing from God. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about wealth. It's about Jesus. It's about our relationship with him, and what God desires from us is to choose him, to choose life. And so, as we talk about that today, we are given a choice, life and good, or death and evil. If I say to you guys today, and we can be interactive here, first service didn't know that we could be interactive, so I'm going to tell you guys, we can be interactive with this. When I say, if I give you a choice between life and death, you choose life. Very good. Very good. That was good. You guys choose life. Of course we choose life. Why would I choose death when I can choose life? But the challenge really is, are we choosing life on a regular basis? Because many of the decisions we make on a day-to-day basis, we choose death. And we don't even realize it because it's a slippery slope. Because we fall and we don't notice. We drift and we don't notice. So I say, what do you choose? You say, life, of course, but do we really? You know, choices are interesting. When given choices, and it's so obvious sometimes, hey, life or death, we say, yeah, I choose life. With my kids, I say, hey, instead of throwing a fit right now, I'm going to give you a choice. You can choose to obey and do what you know is right, or you can choose disobedience and you will be disciplined for it. So I tell them that, and it's so hard even still. Hey, you can choose to obey or disobey, and if you obey, then everything's going to be fine. But if you disobey, you're going to be disciplined. A lot of times I say, okay, I don't want to be disciplined. I'm going to obey. But there's many times that they can't get past it. They still, but this right there in front of me. I have to touch the thing that you told me not to touch because you told me not to touch it. I have to do this because you told me not to do it. It's not that easy, right? And we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We disobey God and we do what we want to do, even when he tells us clearly, don't do this. He says very clearly, do not gossip. Oh, wow. We do that. But I have to. No, I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing this so that we can be in prayer together about it. And you don't tell anybody else. Just between you and me, we need to pray for this person. And then that person, oh, we need to pray for this. And then everybody's praying for that one person. And then, oh, they told me not to tell you, so don't tell anybody else. But that's just a Christian excuse for gossip. Well, we need to pray for their issue that they're having. The Bible is very clear in many ways, but yet we say, it's okay, because we twist it and we say, well, it's okay if I disobey a little bit, right? It's okay if I do things this way, even though the Bible says to do things this way. That's choosing death, and we don't even realize the little decisions that we make that we choose death in. And so Moses here in this writing is giving a final plea. Prior to this, in all these chapters leading up to this, he's giving them a presentation of, hey, here's what happens, and this is how you get blessing. And these are the people that are blessed because they honor God. And here's how you are cursed, and these are the people that are cursed because they are not honoring God. So you guys got to choose whether you want blessing or cursing. It's up to you. And all along, he's trying to give this presentation to them. Hey, there is blessing in returning to God. There is blessing in this. There is blessing in this. There is cursing in this. There is cursing in that. And he's trying to share with them. He knows he's not going into the promised land. They've been wandering around the desert for 40 years. He knows his time is short. And he's saying, I know my time is coming up, and I'm not going to be with you anymore. Joshua is going to take over, and he's going to lead you guys into the promised land. I don't get to go into the promised land. But let me just share this with you before I go on, before I die. Please understand this. This has been the message for a long time now. And he's giving them this last message, this sermon, so to speak. And he's saying, choose life. See, I've set before you. He's saying that. I have set before you. I've been telling you. There's a choice to be made between good and evil, between life and death. And you have to decide. He's saying, here's your choices. Well, here's life. To choose life is to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. And if you do that, if you choose life, then you'll experience blessing. He's giving them that presentation of why they would want to choose life. Here's why you want to choose life, because you'll have life, but you'll also experience the greatest blessing that you could ever imagine. And now, like I said before, it's not about money, it's not about wealth, it's not about riches, it's not about power or prestige or anything. It's about Jesus. It's about the relationship with him and the blessing that we get from fellowshipping with God on a regular basis. We so easily can get caught up in what we think is blessing. What we think is, this is how God can bless me. I need a new car. I need this. I need this. I need God to take care of me. That's not the blessing that God's talking about, spiritual blessing. In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about the spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's beyond us. It's not the earthly places. It's the heavenly places. It's not our finite minds. It's his infinite mind. That's the blessings that God has for us. Not money, not wealth, none of these things. But what God's blessings are from the heavenly places. They are so far beyond us. They are so much farther than us. And as I prayed earlier, that verse in Ephesians chapter 3, to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we can think or ask or even imagine. That's the God we serve. That was the theme of Bridge Fest, was that verse. God is able. He is so far beyond us. We think, well, God's going to bless me and I'm going to get a new car. He's like, a new car, please. I can give you eternal life. I can give you so much more than a new car. That's the blessing he's talking about. And so Moses, again, he is presenting this. He's challenging the Israelites and saying, please choose life. Because if you don't, you're totally missing out. And not only are you missing out on blessing, but you're choosing to perish. You're choosing death. He's saying, so okay, if you don't choose life, here's the alternative. Your choice then, okay, if you don't choose life, here's the slippery slope. Here's the downward spiral. And you don't even notice that you are choosing death. He says these things in verse 17. But if your heart turns away, that's the first thing. If your heart, if your heart turns away, this is the beginning of the downward spiral. Your heart turns away. You begin to dabble in sin and taste it. Get a little taste. Well, that's not so bad. Let me try that. I'll ask forgiveness afterwards. And then after you do it, I'll just ask God to forgive me and it's okay. We dabble, we taste it. We get a little taste, a little flavor of it, and we kind of like it. We begin to satisfy the flesh a little bit. Our hearts are beginning to turn from God, and instead of pleasing God, we are designed to please ourselves and fulfill our flesh. We desire to please ourselves rather than pleasing God. And this is the beginning of our heart turns. The next thing he says is that you do not hear. You do not hear. You do not hear the voice of God. Why? Because you're not seeking God. This is all part of that downward spiral. Let me tell you, if you're not hearing the voice of God, then you're not seeking God properly. How many times every one of us, I just want to hear from God. I just want God to speak to me. And so we want this verbal answer, and we go to our friends, we go to our family. We want somebody to tell us what to do rather than just seeking God, because he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, as Peter writes. All things that pertain to life and godliness, it says. Not some things, all things. And it's all right here. So if we're not hearing from God, we should start reading. We should start seeking his word. And not just looking for signs and wonders. And not just looking for these audible answers. But just seeking Jesus. Drawing near to him. And many times we do that. We seek God for answers instead of just drawing near to him. He wants relationship. He wants us. He doesn't want our list. We've been trying to teach our kids how to pray. And in Matthew, we know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And it's not just to recite it. There's meaning to that. Jesus lays it out when he tells them how to pray. This is how you should pray. First, you give glory to God because he is worthy. First you give him glory, then you go into your requests, then you go into asking him, okay, give me, you know, the kids, and they're 3 and 4 years old, Hannah and Michael. Caleb's 10 months, he's not ready for that yet. He says, Mama, Dad, hi, you know, so it's, praying is a challenge for him. But with Hannah and Michael at 3 and 4 years old, we try to teach them to pray, to thank God and praise God instead of just asking God. And that's what we do. Many times we just ask God, we skip right over the praise and the thanks and the honoring God, which he is so worthy, and we just go right into, please give me this, bless this, help this, instead of, Lord, you're so good. We're thankful that you're so good and that you've already done so much for us. He desires our relationship. He desires our love. He desires for us to choose him. And he's given us a choice. He's given us free will. Why? So we could choose him. So we might choose him. If we didn't have that free will and we just were automatically just serving God no matter what, where would be the love? Where would be the intimacy, the fellowship, the relationship? But that's what it's all about, is relationship. Because he wants us to choose him. So if we don't hear God, it's because we're not properly seeking God. And when we're not seeking God, we're not hearing the voice of God, and we begin to lack conviction. Why? Because we don't know the character of God. We don't know the heart of God. And we begin to lack conviction, and so this downward spiral continues. First, we just turn away a little bit. We try something else. Then we begin to lack conviction because we're not seeking God properly, and we're not hearing his voice. The next one, it says, you are drawn away. Now, the enemy's got his hook in your mouth, and he begins to draw you in, draw you away from God, It starts with just that dabbling in sin. And then it goes to, well, now I'm not seeking the Lord as much. I'm not in the Word as much as I should be. And now he's got a hook in your mouth and he starts drawing you away from God. You're drifting and you don't even know it. And that's the trick with fishing, right? I don't know much. I don't fish. I don't like fishing, but I do know that's the trick. You have to trick them that they don't think anything's happening, that they're being drawn in. And all of a sudden you pull them out of the water like, hey, what happened? You know? When I was a kid, we used to go crabbing all the time with the drop lines. And that's what you have to pull it up really slow. So that they don't know they're moving. They're just chowing away on that bait. Oh, this is great. All right, everybody, come on over. And you're just like real slow. And then you get it. You get that net and you scoop them up and it's too late. They're done. You've drawn them in without them even knowing what's happening. And that's what happens to us. That slippery slope, the downward spiral that we're drawn in. We drift away and we don't know it. Again, you know, when I was a kid with my mom on the beach, we'd be swimming. She's like, okay, see that lifeguard chair right there? That's your spot. When you're swimming and you drift in the current, you know that's your spot. You have to get back to that spot. And you don't even notice that you're just swimming, you're catching waves, you're going under, whatever. And you pick up your head and you're like, hey, where's that? Oh, it's over there is the lifeguard chair. And then you have a choice to make, right? You can get out of the water and you could just walk over, or like most of us always try to do, I'm going to fight the current. I'm going to make it to the earth by myself. I don't need any help. I'm not going to get out of the water. That's easy. I'm going to fight as hard as I can to get back to the place that I need to be so I have that lifeguard chair in front of me. I know where I need to be. That's what we do in our Christian walk. I'm going to fight the current. I'm going to get to where I need to be instead of like, let's get out. Let's get on solid ground and let's walk. Let's get to where we need to go. But that's what happens. We're drawn away. We drift and we don't even notice. We pick up our head. We look and the lifeguard chair is not in front of us anymore. It's 30 yards up the beach. Or like that crab, you're just fooling it. You're pulling it up really quick, really slow. And then real quick, you scoop it up with the net. It's a slippery slope and we don't notice it. And then he says, and then what happens? You worship other gods. So our hearts turn. We dabble in sin. We make these little decisions that are not for God, but against God. We please ourselves rather than God. We stop hearing the voice of God because we're not properly seeking God in his word. And then we lack conviction and we lack the Holy Spirit in our lives because we're not in fellowship with God. And then we're drawn because we're hooked. And we're drawn in without even knowing it. And we drift away. You know, we're tempted more and more by other things. And we lack even more conviction. My 10-month-old, Caleb, he loves to eat. If you've seen him, you could tell that he loves to eat. He's very thick. And when you make him a bottle, you start to shake that bottle. He hears it from the other room. And he's like, oh, where is it? And if my wife's holding him or somebody's holding him and he hears that bottle, he's like trying to fight out of their arms to get to that bottle. And then if he's just on the floor somewhere crawling around and he hears it, he comes storming in, crawling in. He's like, I heard it. I heard the bottle. He knows what's happening. And you could lure him with the bottle. You know, there's times I'm like, I don't have to go over there and bend down and pick him up. I just put it on the floor over here, and he's coming to get it. He storms across the floor, picks it up, and starts chugging. That's what he does. He's lured in by this bottle. He's drawn away from the toy that he was playing with. He's drawn away from everything because there's the bottle. There's the sustenance. There's the food. And that's what we're like. Oh, there it is. I've tasted it. I know it. I like it. My flesh is longing for more of this. And then I'm going to get it. And we start chugging. And before we know it, we are worshiping other gods and serving them, as Moses says here. Ultimately, we forget our first love. We forget God entirely and we serve other masters. Now, I don't mean other masters in our lives and other literal God beings, but things that we have placed as idols in our lives, ourselves, money, power, prestige, whatever it is, fill in the blank, children, spouses, relationships, friends. These things can become gods in our lives if we put them before our Heavenly Father, before the one true God. And we don't even notice it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is referring to money, is referring to wealth. But the idea there that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is that you can't serve two masters, because those masters will contradict each other at some point. You can't please them both. Ultimately, we are drawn away and we find ourselves worshiping other gods, serving other gods, putting other things before Christ. And then verse 19 again, Moses is closing out his sermon to the Israelites and saying, all right, it's time. Make your decision. He's like, here you go, guys, for real. This is it. Now is the time. Make your decision. Choose life. Are you going to choose? Here, I laid it out for you. This is what death is. You're choosing death and you don't even know it. And I'm challenging you to choose life. And he's asking them, please choose life. Please. He's pleading with them as he knows his time is short. But he doesn't leave them there. He doesn't just say, hey, choose life. See you later. He tells them exactly how to choose life. And we study that today, and we see this three-step process of how to choose life. There's hope. It's not all despair. It's not all this slippery slope that we've been drawn away, and we've drifted away from God, and we haven't even noticed it. But yet he says, hey, it's okay, because you can still choose life. No matter when this all happened, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, now you can choose life. So just forget about all that and now choose life. And he's telling them exactly how to choose life. And number one, it says there in verse 20, love the Lord your God. This is how we choose life, to love the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, chapter 6, verse 5, it's known as the Shema. It is the basis of the Hebrew faith. It is defining, describing who God is and what man's duty is toward God. It says there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And we hear Jesus quotes this as well. He says, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The idea is to love completely, holding nothing back, to give all and to love with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, to give all you have in your love toward God. We confuse ourselves sometimes thinking there's this long list of things that God desires from us. And we know, okay, what does God desire? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. These are some things. But there's a lot of things throughout the Bible that it says, oh, this is what God desires from us. This is what we need to do as Christians. And it's a long list. It sounds like it's impossible. But the reality is, if we love God properly, if we love Him completely, then all of these things will come along. They will go hand in hand. They are the result of complete love toward God. So to love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is to give completely all of our love to God without reservation. Number two, it says there in verse 20, to obey His voice. To obey His voice, to hear what He is saying because we are seeking His word and to do it. James says not to be hearers only, but to be doers also of the word. Don't just read it, do it. Live it. Let it dictate everything in your life. to obey his voice. And again, we go back to, this is completely contrary to what we read before. If we're choosing death and we're drawn away and we do not hear, it's because we're not properly seeking God. But now to obey his voice is a result of properly seeking God in his word, that we know his character, we know his heart, and we're obeying what he says to do, even if we don't want to do it. Like I said about my kids, I tell them to obey and they're like, I don't want to, and they throw a fit on the floor or something. But the reality is they still need to learn to obey. And we do the same thing. I don't want to obey. I don't want to do what God tells me to do. And we go and throw a fit. But we need to obey his voice. That is an act of love toward God, is to obey his voice, to do what he's telling us to do, even if we don't want to do it. And then number three, it says there, cling to him. To cling to him, to hold on to him and never let go. And I love what it says there. Verse 20, we'll read it again. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Why cling to him? Because he is our life. He doesn't just give life. He is our life. He is everything that we need. He is the answer. He's all we need. And we look to so many other places. But he's all we need. As a newborn baby is so much in need of their mommy. They're desperate. Without mommy, they don't have the life that they need. You see, we put numbers up on the screen. Why? Because sometimes the kids just need mommy. In case you didn't know, that's a number system. So the parents are called to go get their kid and to give them the love that they need. And especially for the newborn babies, they need that life that only mom can give. And they cling to it. They cling to that life. And we likewise need to do the same. Cling to God. Cling to the promises of his word. Hold on and don't let go. My kids, for some reason, are deathly afraid of dogs. Nothing has ever happened for them to be afraid. Honestly, it's not just dogs. It's anything that's not human that moves and breathes. They're like, what is that? It's a bug, or, you know, it's like a, I don't know, a squirrel outside. There's a squirrel. Oh, no. But dogs is absolutely the worst. And if they see anywhere in eyesight, they flip out and they'll run up, they'll latch onto my leg and they'll try to climb up my body, grab onto my face, onto my hair, whatever, and climb as high as they can so this dog can't get them. Because why? They know, okay, maybe they're afraid and they think that this dog is going to bring death. This little tiny, like, chihuahua or something. They're like deathly afraid and they don't understand, but they cling and they're like, I'm never letting go. And I might be holding them. I'm like, I got to put you down. Seriously, you're like wrapping your arms around my neck and choking me. I got to put you down. They're like, no. And they'll hold on. I could literally be like this with my arms out and they'll be grabbing onto my head and never letting go. I had to like pry them off and be like, look, the dog is a mile away. It's not even in sight anymore. But that's how they act. They just cling on and they're not letting go. We need to be that way with our Heavenly Father. When we're afraid, when we're in need, just cling on to him. But you know what? Not just in those times. Always. He wants to be that lifeline for us. That's what, for my kids, it's like, Daddy's my lifeline. I can't let go. He's going to protect me from that mean 10-pound dog. But the reality is no matter where we're at, we need to cling to him. Hold on to Jesus. Never, ever let go. He wants to be our lifeline. That we could say, oh, I don't have to be afraid of anything because I'm holding on. Because I'm clinging to my Heavenly Father. And I'm not letting go. We know that he's not going anywhere. We know that. His word promises that. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is hold on, to latch on, and to not let go. Whatever the circumstance, whatever place we're in, He is our life. And He's offered us life through His Son, Jesus Christ. So to review these things, we're given a choice. Every one of us, we're given a choice. As Moses challenged the Israelites, and it's a challenge for us today, make a choice. Now, I asked you guys in the beginning, you're given a choice between life and death. What do you choose?
Life.
We choose life. But realistically, we unfortunately make decisions. The small decisions that lead to death. And we need to come back to that place and say, I choose life, I choose Jesus, and I cling to Him, I hold on to Him. So given that choice, being cautious to know that it's a downward spiral and our hearts turn, we don't hear the voice of God because we're not seeking Him, and we're drawn away and we don't even know it, and then we find ourselves worshiping other gods and ultimately serving them. But now we have that choice to choose life. And as we choose life, how do we do that? We love the Lord. We obey His voice and we cling to Him because He is our life. I want to close with this quote in regard to verse 20. And I think it sums up verse 20 well. Sums up this passage well. To love and trust God means to obey His voice. For a child who really loves and trusts their father will obey Him. It means to cling to Him. For if we really love and trust Him, we will be attached to Him. It means to regard Him as our life and the length of our days. Because if we love and trust Him, He is not part of our life. He is our life. So choose life. Not just because it sounds better than the alternative, which is death, but because God desires a relationship with us. And as we choose life, it's what God desires. It's pleasing Him because we're choosing Him. And then He gets to do what He wants to do, which is to bless us. And I'm not talking about what we think blessing is. I'm talking about the heavenly blessings that are so far beyond us. So the challenge for the Israelites and the challenge for us today is to choose life and be cautious of the small decisions that we make in which we choose death. He is our life. Let's choose Him. Let's pray.